right. How are we doing? Good, good, good. If you have your Bibles, grab those. Psalm 23. That's where we'll be this morning. We started last week in Psalm 23, and we'll this week and next week is what it looks like. I'm excited that you are here. I just want to take a minute, kind of here in the front, and just have some fun. Can we have some fun? Everybody likes fun. I like fun. Most of us will have fun, I feel certain. We are excited, back to school, all that stuff. I know that we have our CDC, Child Development Center, starting up tomorrow morning. And man, God has been faithful and good in that and with that ministry. 3 years ago, started as a summer camp. And I can remember a conversation of you praying and freaking out a little bit about, oh my gosh, we got to get kids. And we got to have workers. And we're going to have to, and God just continued to provide year after year. And I think that first year was around the 40 mark. Second year, around 50, and I think we got up to around 60, to which they've said, Scott, we will kill you if you keep praying that God brings more and more and more and more. An amazing, amazing opportunity. It goes from that into a child development center where we'll be able to have 25 or so kids starting out tomorrow morning, where we'll get to just love on kids, share the gospel with kids, care for the kids. And so the fun part for us this morning is this right here. I was going to show that, but I don't know how that got in there. We need to go back, don't we? Well, and then you had the audacity this morning to call me out on my shirt because I had a shirt that was like hanging down and it was like out of the sleeves. And what's even better is it's we will have these shirts in the lobby for sale. But if you want one, let us know. We'll get those ordered. But I thought it would be appropriate. Probably not church attire this morning, but this is our fearless leader, and the shirt says, we survived summer camp 2023, and so I'm excited to see what that'll look like after the first year of the CDC. But if you're not familiar, Hannah's cousin actually starred in Dodgeball, which she kind of can revert back to from time to time. She don't throw things at your kids, I promise. That's only her cousin that does that. But if you can dodge a wrench, how does that work itself in a sermon on a Sunday morning? We're excited to see how God's going to, everybody good with it? We done? Excited to see how God's going to work and move in the life of that, just as it's, again, another extension and opportunity for us as a church to love on our community, to take serious the proclamation of the gospel, excited to see how God will work and move there. And so, now to the sermon. Psalm 23, if we can get there. Psalm 23, we jumped in last week and really just looked at verse 1. Talked about verse 1 and looked at verse 1 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we just homed in and talked about what that meant to be a shepherd, what it God as a shepherd, how that looks. And just looked at his character and his nature, his heart as a shepherd. And what was interesting is the one that pins this is David, who is a shepherd himself. And who more fitting to talk about a shepherd than a shepherd? And so he points us to the shepherd of all shepherds. And as he does that and points out, he does it from a different perspective. He does it from not him being a shepherd, though he knows what it means to be a shepherd. He writes it from the perspective of himself being a sheep in need of a shepherd. And so we talked about that and just kind of looked at that and walked through that last week. And so I want to start out again, just like we did last week, having you stand. And we're just going to read the 23rd Psalm together. I thought it would be good for us as a congregation to stand. It'll be on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can read from there, but the screen too. I thought it'd be good. I'll start us out, Psalm 23, verse 1. We'll start reading, and then I'll kind of fade out, and then I'll pray, and then we'll jump in this morning. But let's go. Psalm 23, starting verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me through all, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. What an encouragement this morning this psalm is. Father, as we dive in and as we look at and we break apart some things, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would fall heavy on this place. You are welcome to do as you see fit in the heart of these people. And Father, my prayer is that you start in mine. Father, my prayer is as we look at some of those areas that there may be rub, Father, that you will show us where the rub is and why. And God, you would help us to do the work of pressing in all the more to you. Father, this is for your great name, for your glory. Help us this morning hear from you and follow after. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated. And so this morning, what we're going to do this morning and then next week, we'll cover verses 2 and 3 this morning. Next week, we'll finish it up 4 through 6. But what we're going to look at is just the shepherd's care. Now we're going to look at what the shepherd does. As David has outlined and has shared with us what God, the shepherd of all shepherds, does. And before we jump fully into that, I just one of the things that I love about this psalm is just how personal it is. I don't know if you noticed that as you read through it, as you read through it in over the years, but there is no, in this psalm, there is no us or we or they. There's only my, me, I, he, and you. The intimacy that flows from David's personal experience with God. That's what you see here, the personality of it, how close he is. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the Psalms resonate so closely with us. Why the Psalms get so close to our heart, because there is this attraction and desire for us to be close to God, for us to walk relationally with God and be near and close and experience relationship like what we see in the book of Psalms. To experience this type of my and I and he, to speak as though you know personally who God is and what he's like, and you've spent time in his presence with him. There is a hunger for that type of relationship in the heart of man. There is a desire for that type of relationship that's been placed there by the Creator God. It has wired us that way for relationship with him. And the only relationship that will fit that, will suffice in that, is a relationship with God. And so I just want to just kind of press us for a moment before we get in and kind of start to dig around and look at some things here. And just press us and kind of nudge for a second and make a statement that will maybe just kind of rub a little bit here. And my hope is that in this, God will just kind of start to begin to do a work as we continue to walk through this. But what I would say is this, is that you and I are as close to God as we want to be. Relationally speaking, you and I are walking as close to God in relationship, as close to God as we want to be. Because what I would argue is what we see from the scriptures is that God desires relationship with us. God desires intimacy with us. God desires that walking along and us being in his presence. He wants that for us. I would say far more than we want it for ourselves. And what I know about the heart of God is that he comes for, he woos, he draws, he longs for that, wants that with us. And the breakdown is not on God's side, but the breakdown would be on our side. And so we'll say things like, yeah, man, I just want to be closer to God. I want to know him more. He just seems distant right now. What I know, what I've experienced is that God's not the one that ever moves. If there's anybody relationally that's going to move in my relationship with God, it's me either not moving along with him as he goes, or it's me moving kind of in my own direction and him staying where he's at. But the movement is never God running away from, or God being so disgusted with, or God being finished with, or man, I just can't believe like this guy. There's none of that. There's nothing but pursuit and wooing and drawing back to him, or to him in the first place. And so I would say that God's desire is to draw close to us, to shape us, to mold us, for us to walk deeply and intimately like what we see here in Psalm 23. That's what he longs and wants for us. That's the kind of relationship that he wants for us. And so what I would say is, probably the reason why we're not closer to the Lord or closer relationally with God is because maybe we're not prioritizing doing the difficult work of relationship. And it's us, not him. Because relationship's hard, is it not? It's difficult. If you're married, you know, amen, yeah. If you've got friends, if you've got family, you know that relationship is hard. The communication side of things, the having to be forgiving side of things, the having to be encouraging side of things. I mean, there's a number of work that has to go into relationship. And I believe the breakdown is on us not walking in a way, pressing in a way, and doing the difficult work of relationship. And so we can make excuse after excuse after excuse all the day long. But what I've learned and what I know about the heart of man is that we will go through hell and back to get to whatever's most important to us. We will do whatever we have to do that sets at priority number one, or enjoyment number one, or satisfaction number one in our life. We will do whatever we have to do to get to that. We will sacrifice whatever we have to sacrifice. We will fight for whatever we have to fight for to get to number one in our life. And my fear is that number one is not the Lord. Now, I know we good church folk on a Sunday morning, right? And we would say, no, that's not the case. But I believe that we have life to point in a different way and to show us the reality about where we sit in our relationship with God. And if we would put that much energy and effort in relationship with Him as we do with whatever it is that sets number one in our life, I believe we would experience and walk in the presence of God more. We would be able to, like David here, as he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And you see the I's and the me's and the relational aspect of this. I believe that we would be able to say like he does. And so I believe that's why the Psalms is so intriguing to us. We see that lived out. We see relationship with God lived out. We see struggle lived out. We just see the realness and the rawness of someone's relationship with God. I mean, does it not seem like David is a madman? I mean, one moment God is as close as a pillow or a cover at night, and the next moment, like, is he even there? Does he even care? I mean, he's like back, like, what? I believe that's us. I believe that's us. And it's when we see this and we read through this, and we can relate. We can relate. So this morning, if you're walking close to the Lord or not, there's going to be some rub this morning. Especially as we look at and we see different words and what they mean, and as he pins this and writes this, there's going to be rub that will form us and shape us and mold us by work of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that there'll be some conviction in the room this morning. There'll be a drawing, and there'll be encouragement for us to submit and to go deeper than we have ever gone in our relationship with the Lord. So let's just do work. Psalm 23:1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I want to start here yet again, just for a moment, because if we don't get this and understand this, it'll be really, really difficult to walk through the remainder of this. It'll be really, really difficult to not feel that rub and to get aggravated and to get mad and to throw up our hands and to just want to give in. So we've got to understand who this shepherd is. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So David belongs to God. God belongs to David. They're together. He's his. He's our shepherd. He's our protector. He's our caregiver. And you've got to understand and know the role of the shepherd. If you don't understand and know the role of the shepherd, then it just won't end well what we look at this morning. And so you've got to know the heart of the shepherd. The shepherd's heart is to provide, to care for, to lay his life down for, is what we see in John chapter 10. That's the role and the heart of the protector. And that there's nothing that the shepherd is not aware of. There's nothing that he's not able to provide and do. He's aware of and he knows his sheep's longings and yearnings, and he provides for their need. That's what he says there. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not have a need that God doesn't fulfill in himself. And so that's great and that's good so far. And then he goes to verse 2, and this is what he says. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And so he goes from "I shall not want," he's my shepherd, "I shall not want," to now he goes to this. I mean, do you kind of sense that rub there for a moment? I mean, why doesn't he kind of continue down the road that he was on there? Maybe goes like, man, he encourages me, he speaks softly to me, he kind of coddles me, he's so gentle and he helps. But no. He goes from "I shall not want" to "he makes me." And I don't know what you feel in that moment, but I feel that there for a second. I'm like, excuse me, what? The shepherd's going to, huh? He's going to, what to me? Nobody makes me. I mean, I am a grown man. I'm a man. Nobody going to make me. I mean, as I read that, as I look at that, he makes me do something? What's that about? You're going to make me? I mean, we're born-again Americans, for Pete's sake. I mean, nobody tells us what. We're red, white, and blue, right? I mean, we have fought for this freedom. We have this freedom. And we're, by goodness, we're free in Christ, too. So who does he think he is to make me to do something like that to me? I mean, that's who we are. But the thing you've got to understand, as a sheep in his fold, as a shepherd of all shepherds that knows what's good and what's right, this shepherd makes his sheep do things. And I think we feel that, like if we're a parent in the room or if you've worked with children, you get that, right? There are things that our kids don't want to do. There are things that they want to rebel against and not do and not partake in. And so we know that, we feel that. But we know that they need to because it's good for them. It benefits them. It helps them, right? I mean, they can't see it. They're not aware of it. Like if I give my kids the choice to brush their teeth at night, what are they going to do? Not brush, right? Like if I don't remind them in the morning, guys, you about to start your day, your breath is funky. It's nasty. You've laid there all night, open mouth, closed mouth, whatever. That's nasty. You need to go brush. Oh, but No, you need to. And besides, if they don't, what happens? Heck with like scaring everybody away because of the smell. But your teeth begin to have all that stuff on it, and it gets worse, and they rot, and then they lose. And so there's great cost in that if you don't. There's heartache. There's hurt. I mean, there's shots that come with it because they got to pull. It's just horrible. I mean, same thing with medicine. Thank God they got old enough to take the capsule. I'm like, the stuff that even tastes good, they don't want to take. I'm like, dude, that's bubblegum. Give me the shot glass. I'm in, you know? Like, I don't even have a cough, but I want it. Like, it just tastes good, but they wouldn't. They don't like to take, oh, Dad, not medicine, not my vitamins. Oh. I mean, I got one who's like, they're gummies for Pete's sake. They're gummies. I mean, it's technically candy that's good for you, supposedly. And he's like, oh, it just tastes, it can't taste nasty. It's a gummy. It's fruit punch, dude. I've got orange. Do you want orange? I got some grape. Tell me what are we dealing with here? What you need? Like they don't like it. They don't want to take it. What about veggies? My goodness, if you can get a kid to eat a veggie, right? If you put some candy on it, they're in. But there's things they don't want to do. Be polite or share. They don't like that. None of us really like that at the end of the day, but we have to. So as parents, it's easy when we read this and we see this. Yeah, there's things I have to make my kids do because they don't want to do, but they need to do because it's good for them. It's right for them. It helps them just be better people to be around. And so when we read this and we look at this and we see that this shepherd makes us do something, even though we know that to be right and true and good because we've seen it and we do it in our kids' lives and it needs to be done, it just makes it, there's still this that rub. Like, God, shepherd makes me? But look at what he makes us do. He makes me do what? Lie down in green pastures. What is green pastures? Green pastures is a place of cool and refreshing rest. That's what a green pasture is. See, what this shepherd does when he makes us do something, it's for our good. Like me making my kids brush their teeth, it's not because I'm a horrible dad or a mean dad or mama's just like, oh, she's hard to deal with. Can you believe she makes me brush my teeth? No, she does it because she loves them, because we love them, because we care for them, because we know that brushed teeth are better than not brushed teeth. And we know what happens if you don't brush your teeth. See, the shepherd's the same way. He knows and he is aware. And so he's making his sheep do what? Rest. He's making his sheep stop. And do we not need that in our day? Do we not need rest in our day? I mean, we live in the hustle and bustle of go, 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 do, 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 produce, produce, produce. I mean, we are the most busiest people ever. And what happens and what creeps in is that's where we find our value and our worth. That's where we find our belonging. And man, our enemy has done a great job, has he not, of convincing us to talk and think that way. I don't know about you, but I know just even this week as I was studying and as I was looking, and I should have known better, but I still do it. I feel the conviction from the Lord. As soon as you see somebody, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, I'm busy. Gosh. Oh, it's been a week. It's been crazy. Wide open are words that I use. Man, like I'm just like slammed. And say things like that as if it's like a good thing. And there's, oh, yeah, man, me too. Gosh. It's just been wide open. I mean, I'm just going at it 100 miles an hour. And we say things like that and do things like that as if it's a good thing, as if it's a right thing that it should be. I mean, where did busyness ever become a good and right thing to just be a part of? I mean, yeah, we shouldn't just be stagnant and doing nothing ever. But busyness for busyness' sake, or busyness for value and worth for us, busyness being weighed down with the do, produce, make, be this and do that, is just crazy. And what we see the shepherd doing here is making his sheep stop. And just stop. Breathe for a moment. It was funny. I was listening to a podcast this week, and in the podcast it was talking about, I can't remember what university, but like one of those Ivy League school universities, like really, really smart ones. They'd done a study on people that of working, and so the study that they did was a study of those who just worked constantly, and then a study of those who worked six and rested one. And the neuroscience that came back, the health of the one that worked six and rested one, the health of that person was so much greater and so much better than the one that just constantly stayed busy, constantly did, constantly produced, constantly was just doing stuff. And as I heard that, and as I thought about that, I'm like, isn't there this book somewhere that kind of tells us that? And so they spent all this money doing this research about people and how, and the creator of the universe says, hey, you know what's a great idea, what you need? Because when he creates and he makes on the seventh day, he doesn't rest because he's tired. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't sleep or slumber or get weary. No, he rests for our sake. I mean, have you ever thought about that? As I was reading and studying this week, and I was looking at the creative order and how things are, we're created last. God creates Adam, and then he puts him to sleep, and he makes woman, and they wake up, and there's God. And then do you know the next thing he tells them to do? Rest. They didn't even do anything. They were just created. They were just made. And they show up. They're created, and then here comes Eve. They're there with God in the presence of God. And he says, oh, by the way, what we're going to do next is we're just going to rest. Rest from what? I mean, they did no work in getting there. God created and did. See, what he's doing is he's putting within them this reality of something called the Sabbath. He's putting within them the Sabbath. And what he says is this is in Exodus 20, verse 8. This is where we see this. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, he says, 6 days you shall labor. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, your male servants or your female servants or your livestock or your sojourners who is within your gates. That's what he says. And so what the Sabbath is, what the shepherd is doing is putting in the heart, showing us and leading us and making us just stop. Stop. He knows what the day holds. He knows the tendency. He knows what the enemies will do as they try to sneak in and come over the gate in any other way other than through the door. He knows what's going to happen, and there's going to be a day and a time and a world that's going to tell us, you got to do and be busy. And I'm not saying that we just need to be lazy and do nothing ever. But I'm saying in our business, in our doing, we need to do first as unto the Lord, and second, we need to do it in a way that we just rest and we take a break and a breather. And so what the Sabbath does is it points back to God's kingdom, a better kingdom. It reminds us that he puts into place a new way, a better way, a way that leads to joy and fullness of life. That's what the Sabbath is. This production of go, do. That's man's system, not God's system. And it's so easy to find our value and our worth in our doing and not in our being. I mean, God's created us and he said who we are. He's made us in his image and he has proclaimed over us who we are. That's where we find value. That's where we found worth. Not in what we can produce. See, the biblical principle or concept or the gospel reality of it is that our value and worth is in Christ and Christ alone. Not how much money we can bring home, how much we can produce, how hard we can work, how much we can lift, how much we sweat, how much we get accomplished in a day. Our value and our worth is found nowhere else other than in Christ. But see, there's this pressure in our world that makes us feel that it's not. That if we can't produce enough, if we can't be smart enough, if we can't go far enough, if we can't be fast enough, if we can't get more done, if we don't constantly feel exhausted, then you're not, you're of no good, you're of no use, you're of no worth, you're no value. And what God does here, what the Good Shepherd does here, is to say, you just need to stop and reflect and be in my presence. You just need to spend time with the shepherd. So another thought, okay, this is Exodus 20. This is Old Testament. What about God's people today? We're under New Covenant, right? And I'm happy you say that, because we as New Testament believers are under that New Covenant. We no longer are required to just keep a Sabbath like a legalistic day and rule with no work. We're not required to do that. But the heart of prioritizing a time to rest and be refreshed in His presence throughout worship is still a must. That's what we see. That's what we know to be true, that 6 and 1 continues even in the New Covenant. That it's just a little different now. And when I'm talking about this 6 and 1, I'm like, I'm not talking about because we're here, this is our Sabbath. Because I don't know how many times I've went to church before in my life and I've been here, but I haven't been here. You know what I mean? You track with what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm here, but I'm not really here because I know what's next. I mean, now my stomach's growling, and then this is happening, and school's tomorrow. And like I know the tendency of that, and we don't equate necessarily this with that. I mean, this can be part of it, and this should feed into that. And so what I'm talking about is more. It's us seeing and marveling over the goodness and greatness of God and getting lost in that and being refreshed in that reality. To just reflect and be in His presence. To just stop and acknowledge His provision and His refreshing. And we don't have to just do that on a certain day, but we've been invited in to do that all day, always. That's what we've been invited into. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. That's what He's invited us into. See, for us in Christ, the Sabbath is not about a day, but an ever-present opportunity to cease from the rat race and craziness of the day and find our worth, value, and refreshing in Him. That's what the Sabbath is. I get to rest in the reality that I'm His. I get to be refreshed and just be in His presence, not having to do anything, but just be and linger with Him and walk relationally with Him. So we see Him there making. He makes us lie down. He leads us, verse 2, as we continue. He leads us, leads me beside still waters. Man, we need to be led, don't we? I don't know about you, but I do. We need direction. We need somebody pointing us in certain ways. Things go really, really bad when we're left alone. Things go really, really bad when we start to wander off and make decisions on our own and start to go our own way. I know I shared this story probably months ago, but I can remember a time where my wife and I, we were headed to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, which I've been hundreds of times. I know how to get to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg. Right, we'll go to Asheville, and we're going to hit Ford, and we'll go over, and we'll get off on this road. I know how to do that. Well, there's road work, and so we've got this fancy little thing on the phone called Waze, and she talks to us. And she's better at directions than I am. And so Waze tells us what to do. There's some road work coming up. So she gets us off. We've done this before. We get off. We go around this way. And as we're getting close to the interstate to get back on, I see the line's long. I'm like, there's still another road here that we haven't taken. I don't know why she's not picking this up. Must be a glitch. Baby, I'm going to take it. She's like, Scott, do what? Because if you know my wife, she hates to be lost. And I'm like, of the if we got gas in the car, we're not lost. We can keep going and eventually find somewhere, someplace. You're never lost if you've got enough gas in the tank. You know what I'm saying? So she's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, I think we've done this before. Huh? Yeah. Just you got to trust me here. Like, that's the way every marriage. Yeah, anyway. So I go this way. And it's not bad at first. I mean, it's a two-lane road, right? And we're going and we're not passing much. And we're kind of going. And it's kind of working its way toward the interstate, maybe. Or so in my heart, I believe it is. And so we're going and we're doing it. And it goes from a two-lane down to one lane. Now, it's still paved, so we're good, right? Like, I mean, this is okay. It's still pavement, right? They got to take care of that. That's good. And it goes from pavement down to gravel. And she's just spinning. Now, I mean, she'd gotten tired of saying, turn around, turn around, turn around. You dummy, what are you doing? Turn around. Like she talks to me like that. And so, not my wife, but Waze, the lady in the phone. And so, so she's quit, and she's just spinning, and she's give up on me. And so I'm just like, and then my wife does that thing where she's just like, are you sure? I'm not more sure of anything else in my life than I don't know. Because I felt like I started to hear some banjo music, and I felt like, And so as I read, as I looked at this, and as I thought about this week, man, I need somebody to lead me. And the reality is this, is we need somebody to lead us. And as long as I listen to her voice, because she knows a lot more about the current patterns of traffic than I do, and she knows a lot more about the actual roadways than I do, I should probably listen to her, even though it doesn't seem to make sense or it doesn't seem right, and there's a lot of line of traffic up there, so it appears. And I think that I'm, and I just thought, man, how often is that us? Because it was good when I was listening to the voice and we're kind of getting around some stuff and we're getting close to where we need to be. And then it was whenever I decided to step out from the leading that it went downhill quick. And there's panic and there's worry. But what I found out is this, is that there's room to turn around. And so I stop and I turn and I head back. And it's whenever I'm being led, I'm at my best. Whenever I'm being led and I'm following that one that's leading me, the shepherd of all shepherds that leads me, when I'm following him, that's when I'm at my best and I'm at the right place. And that's what we see here, because what does he do? He leads me beside still waters. And what it is just a continuation of him leading us to calmness, to rest, to refreshment. That's what our shepherd wants to do. He's going to make us lay down and rest and take it easy and take a breather and just be in his presence with him. And he's going to lead us to the place of where there's calmness and refreshment. That's what he's going to do. See, God leads his sheep. Where does he lead them? He leads his people not to standing waters that are stagnant and gather filth. Not to these troubled seas that are raging and the waves are crazy. Not a rapid flowing river, but to a silent flowing stream. That's where he leads. And the problem is not his leading, the problem is our following. Like me with the app, the phone app. I believe we struggle to follow. Well, because he doesn't get us there fast enough. Or it seems to be like there's some bumps in the road up here, or the traffic is crazy, or like I know what's best for me, right? Like, I know what I should have, what I should do, where I should... We don't submit and stop because it doesn't work the way that we think it should or as quick as we think it should happen. And so we don't follow and pursue like we're called to, and we veer off. And when we veer off, we find things that are contrary to this stillness of water or this rest and this calmness, refreshing that he talks about. And so he goes on in verse 3, and he says this, so he makes and he leads, and then he restores my soul. He restores me when I wander. See, no creature will ever lose itself sooner than a sheep. It's so apt to go astray, and then it's so unapt to find its way back. It's kind of like me in the car not listening to Waze. Let's take this one. This looks like a good road. Let's go this way. Or this looks like let's try this one. Or let's do this way. So apt to do that and not to come back and turn around and come back. But what he says is that he restores. He leads and he restores. See, the best saints are sensible of their proneness to go astray like lost sheep. We're aware of it. We know it. We should, because we are prone to. We are prone to get off path. We are prone to selfish desires and selfish wants. And let me just do it my way. And like, God, can you not hurry up and catch up with me? And we're just prone to that. We go that way. And so we miss our way and we turn aside to other paths. But hear me, but it's when God shows them their error, shows us our error and our wrong, and he gives us repentance and he brings us back to our duty once again and he restores our soul. Man, repentance is a good gift of God. Conviction is a good gift of God. And so when we get out from underneath that leading and we're not following and things are going crazy and things are out of control and we're hearing banjos, whatever the case may be, man, what he does is he restores and he invites back. He forgives and welcomes back into the fold and repairs relationally what we've messed up in that moment. So he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul, and then he leads me. There's all this leading and this following that we're required to do as his sheep. But he does it for our good. Look at what he says. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he leads us in a direction that is right and good, that's pleasing to God. I mean, of all that we want to please, it should be God first, His heart first. And so He leads us in a way that points to and reflects the heart and nature and character of God. He leads me in paths of righteousness, right standing, right way. That's what He does in a way that's going to reflect who God is. If we will just follow and pay attention and listen and do what He calls us to do and live the way He calls us to live and act the way He calls us to act and live by those standards of what He's shown us and what He leads us into, man, we can point back to and reflect the heart and character and nature of God. And so how does He do that? I'm happy you asked, because the way He does that is through His Word and the Holy Spirit. He does that through His Word and through the work of the Holy Spirit. They work together to provide the leadership that we need. Psalm 119:105 says this. It says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. God's word lights up and illuminates and shows us. God's word helps us see the way that we should go, the way that we should act, the things that we should say, the things that we should do. He reveals those paths in His word if we would just read it, see it, and obey it. And my fear is that there's not a lot of time spent in His Word. There's not a lot of time knowing the heart of the Father through what He has said. You want to know what God's like? Spend time in His Word. You know what God has said? Spend time in His Word. He's spoken and He said all that He needs to say. And we have access and availability to it anytime we want it. Anytime we need it, there it is, His Word. And this is what it does. It illuminates and it shows us. And then Romans 8:14, so the Word and the Holy Spirit. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So we've got the Holy Spirit alive in us. Happens at the moment of conversion, at the moment of rebirth. That's where the Holy Spirit comes and abides and dwells in us. And we're transformed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. And so the Word of God and the Spirit of God team up to transform the mind. And in that way, God leads us into paths of righteousness. Leads us into paths of righteousness. So we've got the Word that's going to direct us, and we've got the Holy Spirit that's going to convict us and encourage us and kind of push and nudge us. And what He does over time is He shapes us. He shapes our thinking. He molds our emotions so that we can filter what those paths are like. So when something comes down the way, if it doesn't match up to the Word of God, then we don't do it. If it doesn't align itself with the heart and character and nature of God, we as the sheep of His fold need to look like the shepherd, need to act like the shepherd, need to think like the shepherd. And so when things come down the way, if it doesn't align itself with what He has said and who He is, then we don't do it. So we can filter it. And then we can act in a way that gives Him glory and honor. Glory and honor. So we can put on display His greatness, His majesty. How awesome and beautiful and lovely and great He is. That's what happens when we live this way. That's what the "for His name's sake" means. And if I could just encourage you a moment, Jesus will never lead you to act, be, or think in a way that contradicts the heart of God. He will never lead you to act. The Holy Spirit will never point you in a direction that is contrary to the revealed Word of God, contrary to the nature and heart and character of God. He will never do that in a way that's going to contradict or go against what He's already revealed and told us. He will never, ever do that, because He's doing it for His name's sake. He leads us in paths of righteousness, and when we walk that out, live that out, what do? We bring glory and honor to Him. And we point back to the shepherd that leads us. People see that. People experience that. That's where we give glory and honor to. I mean, why did you had every right to blow up in that moment. Why didn't you lose your cool and go crazy? I don't have to. But did you not see how they treated you and what they said to you? Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I don't have to fight for me. I belong to the shepherd. He's got me. But do you not hear what they said? I know what they said about me, but I know who they am. They don't know who I am. And besides, the funny thing is, if you really knew me the way that He knows me, like what they said was nothing. I mean, He is aware and He knows. I don't have to. Or if you're in another situation, I mean, just if you act and be like He is, Man, the doors that open and the opportunity. Church, I've banged on this drum. I'm going to continue banging on this drum until God calls me home. We will never reach the world being like the world. It's when we live in contrary distinction from the world. When we live differently than the world, that's when we'll start to attract and get attention. Not for us, but for opportunity to have conversation. Why do you parent like that? Why do you talk like that? Why don't you act like that? Why don't you say things like that? Why don't you respond in these ways? Why don't you do this with your money? Why don't you do that with your kids? Why don't you? And so when we live that way, that's contrary to the stream that is pushing us toward the world, that's where we'll be able to open up and have conversation. And that's where we make known His name and His glory and His greatness. For His name's sake is what he says. So the band comes back up. There's a shepherd, and that shepherd has made himself known and has made his intentions known. We can know what this shepherd is like because he has revealed himself to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through his son. He has made himself known, and we can know his intentions, and that's what we see happening right here. I mean, who better to pin this than a shepherd himself? Knowing his own tendencies. Knowing his own tendencies as a sheep. He pins it in such a way. And so we can know that God will make us lie down in green pastures. Not because he's brutal. Not because he's mean. Not because he doesn't want us to make money. Not because he doesn't want us to continue on and build whatever. But he will lead. He'll make me lie down in green pastures. Why? Because he knows that I need rest. He knows that I can't sustain and can't be and can't continue over and over and over and over and over not resting in him and reflecting on who he is and just being in his presence. We know that this shepherd will lead me beside still waters. Again, another reference to refreshing. Another reference to rest there beside still waters. Now the waters may be rocky sometimes getting to that still waters, but we know that he is with us and he is leading us sometimes. He's leading us through to get to that place. Beside these still waters, we know that he restores my soul, that he has made a way to welcome us in back into the fold when we've rebelled and we've went our own way. And he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that he will never take us down a road that's not for his glory, not for our good. That's perspective, church. So whatever we're going through, whatever we face, whatever... You've got to know the heart of the shepherd. Because if you don't know the heart and the nature of the shepherd, then when you look at this stuff, you're like, he's going to make me, he's going to lead me, he's going to do all this stuff, but it's not the way that I thought or the way that I think it should be. Man, but the heart of the shepherd, that's what we've got to know. Man, how amazing the shepherd is. One that truly loves and cares for. So may you find rest and comfort in him and him alone. May you find everything that you need in him and him alone. May you just let him make you stop for a moment and just breathe in and reflect on who he is and get lost in that. May you let him just lead you. Man, it's so much smoother whenever you let him take the lead. Man, and if you've rebelled or if you're not following or wherever you're at, if you just let him restore your soul, just run back to him. That's the great thing about the shepherd. And as he's constantly calling and wooing you back. And so I don't know where you're at this morning, but may you find comfort in him. And the way you do that, first and foremost, is by being his sheep. And so I don't know if you're here this morning and don't know him as your shepherd, don't know him as the Lord of your life. And if you don't, man, there's no greater time than this morning to say, you know what, I need a shepherd. I need someone to lead me. I need someone to make me because I won't do it for myself. And so if that's you, man, I'm going to be down here. I know Jimmy will be down here. We'd love to talk to you more about what it means to have a relationship with the God that I'm talking about. And the way that you do that is through faith in his son who has came and has modeled all of this for us and has invited us in. And another way that you find comfort in him is that daily intimate pursuit. And that daily intimate pursuit is where you let him lead, you let him guide, you let him make, you let him, you want to be in his presence, you want to be around him, you want to be in relationship, journeying with him everywhere you go, everything you do. It's just a big moment of just worship and gratitude and thanks and praise. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what God stirred in your heart. I mean, if you want to come pray, if you want to talk more about whatever God leads you to in this moment, you be obedient to Him. Father, we love you. We need you. We thank you. Jesus, just pray and ask that you would work and move like only you can. Father, just thank you. I just want to say thank you so much for being a shepherd that cares for sheep the way that you care for us. And you've done so much for us. And so, Father, this leading and following, as difficult as it seems on my side, I know that it doesn't need to be. You're a good shepherd that cares for. So, Father, speak to the heart of the people in this room this morning. Do work like only you can. I beg of you. In your name I pray. Amen.